Hey, and welcome to the Coastal Noise Podcast. Once again, doing recording from inside my car this time. The car is not in motion because if you heard the last pre-show note I did beforehand, I almost killed myself trying to do it while driving in the car. So this episode is with Royal and Toulouse, and a cool band that I met when I was doing a blues competition at the Blues Tavern in Mobile with Abe Partridge, who took the first prize for that. So he'll be going on to Memphis, and Royal and Toulouse, who also won for the band category, will be going to Memphis as well. So I talked with a lot of the members after the show. Really cool people. We swapped some music, and I really dig what they're doing, so I invited them to come and sit down while they were in between on the road, and they came by and just had a good talk with us. There is another podcast that I'm going to mention right now beforehand that I did with my buddy that was hanging out. We were just waiting around for me to do the show with Royal and Toulouse. So me and him decided to start up a podcast, and we talked about much different things. We talked about medical marijuana and the federal court controlled substances, since there was some recent stuff going on in that department, the FDA denying it reclassification to a different schedule. We talked about post felonies, voting and gun ownership, the lawyer game, court systems, forensic psychology, and vigilante action. So I'm working on that. I'm pretty sure it's going to see the light of day. I'm just going to put that one up after this one. Royal and Toulouse, we're going to talk about in this podcast all the stuff that they've been up to and some of their inspirations and different things like that. You can go to their website, check out what they've got upcoming. They've got a lot of tour dates going on. I think right now they're in Texas. Just give it a check out, if you will. And also, of course, please go to coastalnoise.com. Give us a like on Facebook. Follow us wherever you can. And it would be much appreciated. I think we're like one like away from like 400 likes or something. It's crazy. And a note for me, I will be playing at the Gulf Coast Singer-Songwriter Shootout. And October 10th, it's a Monday evening, where Orange Beach, Alabama, the Wharf at the Hotspot Cafe. Every week they bring some more of the selected contestants in and you play and then hopefully go on to the finals. So that's what I got coming up next. That's on my music page, coastalnoise.com, Stefan Lawson Music, etc., etc. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. I don't think there's anything else on my mind. Oh yeah, I think me and Abe Partridge are going to try to do another thing to talk about a little more about that songwriting thing and talk about his thing to Memphis and just to talk more, because I don't know if you caught our podcast that me and him did with TJ Scruggs, also of the Psychedelic Peacocks, but we had a really good time and I'd love to sit down and talk to him again just so we can have more good times. And oh yeah, there's one more podcast I have coming up that I'm really excited about that I hope you'll check out. It's with my friend Aaron Wood that I'll be doing in somewhere close around to Atlanta area next month, weekend of September 17th, something like that. And it's going to be all about literature. Aaron is a good friend of mine who talks books, loves books, and so and I'm constantly reading something or another. So me and him love to get together. He's one of the few people that I know just has a vast array of knowledge of different books that he's read of all different kinds. So and I've read a lot of interesting stuff lately. He's been telling me over messages different things he's been up to. So it's just one of those podcasts that I'm excited for just because I know the direction it's going to take. And me and him have previously had conversations that we've talked about recording on podcasts that I wish we had. So I'm looking forward to this is what I'm getting at. So, but I'm hitting my 5-minute mark here. So I'm going to wrap it up, start the show. This is CNP number 58, Royal and Toulouse. Hope you enjoy it. All right, guys. Well, normally these setups for me usually go like 3 or 4 people, including myself. You know, I like to keep the conversations as
tight-knit and as close as possible, you know. I like it, few distractions, minimalistic, people just bouncing off each other in a very closed environment. So for me, this is a kind of a bigger number for a conversation like this. So just for the sake of making it easier for listeners to identify us as we talk, I thought it'd be good if we just go around the room and just say your name and your identifying role to the group. How about that? So we'll start with Malin. How about that?
Hey, I'm Malin, and I'm the singer, and I write most of the lyrics.
Right on, and we'll just go around this way. We'll go counterclockwise with it.
I'm Chad Johnson. I do nothing in the band. I just book shows and do marketing stuff.
Right on.
I'm the driver. My name is Ricky. I have a bass, and I'm an Aries. Peace.
Nice. I'm Dylan, and I hit stuff with wood.
I didn't realize how hard that sounded.
You also play drums.
I also play drums.
What a goof.
And our last and final of the group.
I'm Christian, and I play guitar.
Right on. So, take me back a little bit, guys. I really want to know where the situation came from, because about 15 till our original meet date, and you guys are broke down with mechanical problems. So what was going on? Where did y'all just come from, and what happened?
Oh, I'll field this. We've got a van. We named it Rusty. It's a Yankee bus. A lot of salt in its life.
Wait, his name is LeBron Jovi.
Well, LeBron Jovi was his former name. Now it's retired, and his name's Rusty. And I thought, oh, we'll get the air conditioner going on it, and, well, we did. And it was beautiful for 3 hours. We load up the bus, get everything ready, hit the road, and the AC died. And inside of an old, rusty bus with windows that you can't really roll down, because they don't open, it got about 115 degrees in there, and I was kind of worried about everybody making a long trip in the sun and that heat. There's no way we could just go pile into the car and go get a U-Haul right quick.
Yeah.
So no, they tried. They wanted to. Just didn't really work out that way.
So 3 hours later, we finally hit the road with a makeshift that would make it without us dying. So right now, you are witnessing a miracle, brother.
Everybody straddled a fan, and we had about 15 more, you know, pit stops. And so we apologize for being about 5 hours late or so to this interview.
The taste of and, India held us up pretty long.
It was an adventure, and we made it. And I've also made a deal with a guy in Houston, and we're meeting him in the morning, and we're trading that pile of junk with some cash, and we're getting a new bus tomorrow. So things work out. Thanks to Mo in Houston. I'd plug his damn place, but I don't know it.
Mo's a hell of a guy, though.
Thanks, Mo, on North wherever in Houston.
You trace that guy Mo down, you're going to find a good man and a great business.
I think he already hates me, but I think he likes our band, so good thing.
As long as Mo's got an AC, we're all tight. Mm-hmm. That'll be a good thing.
So y'all just go through buses every other day. This is big times.
Mm-hmm. We always make the gig or near it. Like, there was 7,000 people at a show we were supposed to play outdoors in Wilmington, Vermont.
Delaware.
Delaware, sorry, Delaware. My bad. And,
but we still showed up.
We showed up and played the pizza joint on the corner.
Killed it. And they invited us back to headline the whole festival next year.
But they know we'll have a janky buzz and we won't be.
They're gonna tell us that they're playing the 12 o'clock noon spot and then book them for the 8 spot so that we can factor in the bus. So we should be good to go.
Oh, yeah. So were y'all coming from a gig in Tuscaloosa or up in around about that area?
Oh, no, not this time.
No.
No, we were just...
our bus just sucks.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to think. The last place we played was Florida.
Yeah.
We had a little tiny piece of a break in Birmingham. And then we got, so the bus that really ultimately was a problem to New York, we ended up meeting this guy, Church Bus Charlie. We got a full refund for the janky bus because he felt so bad about the East Coast tour and the bus having three breakdowns. So
we really just need a GoFundMe.
We don't do the GoFundMe. We just handle our business.
Yeah, that's right.
So we just we have this bus and it just it's been a problem. So we're getting rid of it tomorrow in Houston. We're just gonna see how the third bus works out.
Exactly. Yeah, when we were in Mobile, we were actually, it was fortunate. Dylan was in Destin. I was in New Orleans. So Christian, Ricky, and Malin all drove one vehicle.
We jumped in a pickup truck.
Exactly. And then we met there with, so we had three cars, so we didn't take a bus. So that's how we made it down to Mobile.
And the AC works.
Yeah,
the
AC. That's how our middle tour works. So.
Mm-hmm. So then they were off one weekend. We were working on Rusty, and we thought we had it up and going. Now we're off for, after this week, we're off for 2 weeks, and then they go to South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, Apex, North Carolina, and then Chicago and Iowa.
Day Trotter
in Davenport, Iowa. Mm-hmm. And possibly a couple other
So spots. We need a good bus by then. So we're thinking Mo is going to come through.
Yeah.
So.
If not, we're circling back around to Houston, and we're going to catch him.
You hear that, Mo? We're coming for you.
Better eat your Wheaties, Mo.
Well, that's cool. So y'all had a lot going on then.
I can imagine some random guy named Mo being really freaked out by this podcast.
I heard a shirt from Mo.
The music's been coming together pretty nicely.
Yeah,
we may even write a song.
Oh
about
yeah,
us.
We're a band. I forgot. We gotta talk about music.
Oh, I thought this was the mechanic show.
The mechanic show?
Oh, yeah, I thought this was like Grind Your Gears with Fred. I got so confused. Yeah, we're a band.
His name's Stephen.
Anybody want to talk about the new record?
Yeah, I've been listening to y'all's record ever since Shake That Reputation, y'all newest one. Been listening to it ever since me and you did the swapsy there at the Blues Tavern.
Yeah,
so
cool.
And I dig it. I dig it a lot.
Thanks.
And I think it was you, Chad, who said it, you know, it's just like, it's the same live feel,
mm-hmm.
which I could kind of tell from just y'all's production style that y'all took for the album mm-hmm. itself. You're going for very much a live feel, you know,
yeah,
keeping it honest so that, you know, bookers know what they're getting into, mm-hmm. and it also shows your skills as musicians that you can collectively deliver on point there as well as anywhere else you're going to be.
Yeah, the guys are very fortunate to have a guy in Birmingham. His name's Les Newby. Lester Newby III. He is actually has a studio called Ol Elegante. And what he likes to do is he likes to record everything for these guys. He does a live recording. So it captures what they do on stage a lot better. And Les has been, he was with a band called Verbena. They used to tour with... the Foo Fighters, I think they toured with R.E.M., they toured with all kinds of people. They were a Capitol recording artist. He's seen all kinds of shows. He's in another band now called Vulture Whale. They're an amazing band. He's just been around music since he was, you know, a very, very early age. So he's got all kinds of styles that that work for the different people. He had recorded Christian and Dylan in a past band, and he kind of knew about them. And when we merged the two bands for Royal and Toulouse, what they have now, he was familiar with them and he brought them in and it was a perfect fit. So they get that nice live sound and they get a producer that is perfect for that live sound. So it's worked out well. It's worked out really well. And the new videos that were just released with Spectrasonic Sound with Birmingham Mountain Radio were actually recorded in Ol Elegante. Les did the... sound and the engineering with a guy named Lee Shook who produced the whole project, and then we have a guy named Jason Hamrick that mastered the tracks who also mastered everything with Shake That Reputation. So it's been a nice fit and they do me a big favor because now I can send someone that CD and say, this is what these guys sound like live, and it's pretty much right on. So, hats off to those guys.
Yeah.
And that was kind of our goal. Before Dylan and Christian joined the band, we got, I think, really excited in the studio, and we would bring in horns and all these other aspects that sometimes we would have live, but we didn't always. And sometimes we would have a 13-piece something up there. And so it was a really big sound. It was a really neat sound, but it didn't totally represent the stripped down raw thing we had going when we were just a 4-piece. Mm-hmm. And then when we kind of finalized the band family with the addition of Dylan and Christian, we just kind of thought, let's have that raw rock sound, just kind of where you come from and just honest, a really honest sound. And because what our audiences would say, they liked that. And when Chad saw us live the first time, we had the full horn section, which is Chad Fisher, he's now with St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Rob Alley, Gary Wheat was on the record. Anyway, there were several horn guys, great sound, but people really kind of liked us when we would just be the 4-piece, and they would go, it's just something about it, but it's different than your CD. So I just felt like people were kind of yearning for, could you capture that real live thing that y'all do? And then when Dylan and Christian joined, it kind of, everything fell into place, and that's kind of what we did. And we took some of our older songs, made them more rockin', and then we just totally reinvented the sound, reinvented ourselves, and Les was able to, he just is great at rock and roll. He knows rock and roll, that's what he does, and he went, this is how this is supposed to sound. And then Jason Hamrick just puts the extra spank on it, and boom, we go, yeah, that's what we meant. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time I think anything has actually been produced that originated in Maya Ricky's brains and had other, you know, had Dylan Christian on it, had other people intertwining with it, that's what we meant. Mm-hmm. That's what we meant. It's cool to explore and get and overproduce and do that stuff too. That's cool. But it's also cool to have something that goes, people hear it and go, wow, you are live just like the album. Mm-hmm. I dig that. I'm digging it right now anyway. I'm riding that wave, I'm liking it. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to do.
Yeah.
And it's a whole lot easier to orchestrate and get everybody to the gigs and get everybody on board with the progressiveness of each song without having to look over and go, hey, hit your part.
There was no need to overcomplicate things when you can just have just basic sweating rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. And we got the sweating thing on lock.
Got the sweating on lock.
And we got enough blues to be able to pull that rock and roll together in a direction that feels good. That works really well with what she's doing.
Those boys got the blues.
I thought that was about to be a joke or something. I was expecting like a good punchline.
Oh, no.
I was sorely disappointed.
Well, I mean, didn't you guys play blues for a long time together?
Yeah.
I'm scared
since
to
Since you were
that.
Four.
I want to know about your drums.
We actually started off playing rock.
Yeah, since we were four. Is that what
you're You're only 12, right? What did the article say?
Oh yeah, Christian 16.
16.
Alright. Ladies, be aware. He's 20, not 16.
He's 21.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, I forgot your birthday was.
Reel it in there for us.
So I'm listening to this all subjectively. No, but
We've been on a bus too long, guess what? We don't know how to.
I tried to give the psychologist response to that.
Y'all are supposed to be laying down on those couches, I think.
The blues, rock and roll is to me the son of blues music. You know, blues is like the source music, and then people came along. They had more experience. They got the amplified equipment. They got the technology to produce and record, and they took it up a notch.
And the song time, I thought it was Keith Richards.
Keith Richards is a part of it. The thing about the blues is it's so interpretive in so many different ways. Like where we met at the Blues Tavern for the International Blues Festival, my buddy Abe Partridge won, and you know, the whole time we were, you know, he told me about the gig, and he said, "You should go. You're an actual blues guy. Like, you know, that's your roots, that's your source, and you do the rock and roll thing." He's like, "You should go." He's like, "I don't know why they've asked me." He's like, "I'm like a folk guy who like yells and likes punk and like this kind of stuff." And then he ends up winning.
Sounds pretty awesome to me.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But like his lyrics and his song titles and his emphasis and passion towards it, it reeks of the blues, you know? So it's all how, and the people there recognize that. And that's why I think it's awesome that he won. And still afterwards, he's like, "I don't know why this is happening." Like, "I don't, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, ride this wave." And so it just goes to show that the blues has, it's the roots of so many different musics.
Well, that's ironic that Abe had that experience, because our manager Chad received a phone call that they had somebody drop out due to the flooding in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, y'all just kind of went on a whim, right?
Yeah, and they needed somebody to fill in. And he said, "Would y'all want to play this? I know you have a gig that night. Would you want to play this in the afternoon on the way to the other gig?" And we laughed at him and we went, "We are not a blues band." And he was like, "Well, you kind of are. I mean, you're a rock band based on the Delta blues sound. You've got this huge blues background on both sides. Why don't you just..."
We do have a heavy influence on blues.
So, I mean, it is pretty heavy. So we go, "What do we do?" Mm-hmm. Well, we did our second gig together was opening for Buddy Guy at the Chicago Blues Festival, and we thought we're not blues enough, so we wrote some songs real quick. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, we would throw out a kind of a traditional blues number and just write something so it would be original, and they went over well. And so we thought we could use those, and we kind of pulled our set list together and make sure we're original, and we just showed up and did it. But we... Even the owner of the Blues Tavern, Randy, was going, "Hey girl, you know, it's good to have you here." And I said, "You know, I think we're too rock and roll, but thank you for being so polite and accommodating to us." And he went, "I tell you what, you just go out there and you give them the best thing you got." And I was like, okay. So we went out there and we just did our thing. And then we won. And we went, "What?" Because Voo Davis, I believe that's their name, was like a blues band. That's what they did. They were amazing.
Killed it. Yeah.
They killed it. Mm-hmm. And this rock band with some blues influences won. So it's going, Abe is the punk guy. So what I'm saying is, this is what I experienced at the Chicago Blues Festival. Is we walked in, and I was wanting to turn around and walk back because you heard dun 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 dun. Everybody had the same thing going, and I went, "We are not going to be good. I'm walking away. I'm not standing up there in front of all these people who know everything about everything." And what happened? Our tent was overflowing of people because they wanted to hear something different. Mm-hmm. They liked that it was something a little different. It had the same feel. It was birthed from that. It's something they're familiar with, but it was just in a little bit direction, so it wasn't exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're working with. And now I've rambled, so goodbye, I'm done.
Well, you know, and it's funny, too, that they all say, "Yeah, we're on the fringes of the blues," but in the Blues Tavern, there's a picture on the wall that's a poster, which was designed by Little Town Sound, i.e. Malin. And it has the women of blues in Alabama, and it has Malin's picture on it.
Oh, let's say it correctly.
Blues Babes.
Blues Babes.
The Blues Babes. Oh, yeah, sorry, my bad. Blues Babes. So the Blues Babes of Alabama, Malin was already on the wall at the Blues Tavern before she even realized it. And then you got...
I didn't even know those posters went to print. He was just signing us up, and I'm talking to the guy, and I'm shaking his hand, and I went, I'm on your wall. That is very different. I'm on your wall, okay, all right.
And you got Dylan and Christian, who played at, you guys played at Ground Zero, you played at juke joints all over Mississippi, Alabama, played with the Kimbros, the Burnsides, Lightning Malcolm has played with you guys. T-Model Ford, you guys knew...
They were birthed at the crossroads.
That's it. And they played a festival with Robert Plant in the crossroads. So they've been around the blues when they were first starting to play, really. I mean, a couple of years later, and they were playing, and they were playing in a juke joint in Birmingham called Gip's. There's actually a movie tomorrow released called Gip, the movie. I believe that they're actually playing in the movie. And so this whole blues background is very, very prominent. But then you bring in Ricky, who's got all of that punk and funk sound and
hip hop. Yeah. He was in hip hop bands when I met him.
Yeah.
He was like the lone white dude that wrote all the beats.
I got a lot of street cred.
And it's like, why is there that white dude in the band? What does he do? He writes all the music.
Ricky Nice.
What?
Street cred.
That's it. Well, when you bring in that strong bass lines to all this blues and rock, I mean, it's a rock band that's got a blues bass, and there's a couple other bands like that where they were called Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones. I mean, all of them are the same type of thing. I mean,
I don't know, that's kind of a big pot to throw us in there, Chad.
Well, I'm saying that whole genre of rock. I'm not saying you guys are like the Rolling
format,
Stones.
The format yeah. of the sound, having yeah. the bass to carry the low end so the guitar can move around and solo and take exactly. melodies and stuff like that.
See? Oh shit, we're Led Zeppelin.
Boom!
Yeah, that's
dissected.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Powerhouse 4 is the... it's like the biggest number you can have while still being small
yep.
and doing rock and roll and carrying it off. Because then, you know, you get down to like a trio, a three-piece, where the guitarist or the bass player is doing vocals or all three of them got something on, you know.
Wolf Mother kills it.
You see Hendrix or
you
Cream.
You go two-piece, you go.
You see Cream and...
Black Keys.
Yeah.
Primus.
Him for yeah. Her. That's another Rush. Good band. Two-piece band. C6 Steve is really good.
I like
C6 Steve. C6 Steve is great. And he's got a pretty good drummer, too. I've been listening to Sonic Soul Surfer, his latest album, and it is damn good. He's great.
Check it out.
Yeah.
You have a great voice for radio. I feel like I'm going to sound real country.
I feel like I should maybe say this is Malin. On
just do your New York
PLX. Yeah.
Sorry, no.
Well, just you know what?
Just do
nah, yeah, I'm good.
In regards to your voice, since you brought that up, with music, the music scene being a prominently male-dominated thing, having a female vocal who knows how to deliver within a rock group can be a very effective and powerful thing. What influenced you originally in the direction you wanted to take your style of singing?
Well, see, I thought I had the answer. You said, what influenced me originally in my style? I'm just gonna say my easy first thing I thought of. My grandmother was the vocalist. When Billie Holiday was playing, her pianist name was Jerome Hopkins. He was originally from Alabama. When Billie Holiday died, he left New York and came back to Alabama. Mm-hmm. And he played with my grandmother, Carol Hennessy, until he passed away. Mm-hmm. And so she was a single parent raising my mother and her brother. And she'd work at the bank, and then she'd have gigs at night singing at the Yacht Club or here, there, you know, the Holiday Inn, whatever it may be, different venues around Tuscaloosa. And she, when I was younger, I had the opportunity to be on our piano bench a lot at or a few times at gigs and sit there when she's singing Billie Holiday and Roberta Flack and Etta James and Ella Fitzgerald and Nina Simone and how do you not soak that up? Mm-hmm. How do you not? So that was huge for me. That was everything because she said, you can do this. And she did it in a time when you couldn't. And she has stories of, you know, Janis Joplin was staying at a hotel where she was playing and came in the lobby. She said, with her entourage, just a clanging and a clanging. And they were so dirty and they smelled. And, you know, she goes, but I'll tell you what. They really, for whatever reason, they loved my music and they were so nice. Well, a few days later, this little band happened to be in town and she said I didn't care much for their music, but they sure were nice guys. And they were called the Grateful Dead. Wow. You know, and she got to play with them on the arena. If you look up Tuscaloosa Coliseum 1970, whatever, you can hear my grandmother. Her name is Carol Hennessy. So I would say before I could name all these singers who influenced me, I would say Carol Hennessy would be
wow.
That.
That's a great response. That's very cool. That's a cool upbringing for you to get all the major points to, too.
Where?
She is an awesome lady.
Yeah, I love her so much, and I haven't seen her in so long, and I better go see her. I told her October, but I gotta do it sooner. She's awesome. She's great. She's in Tuscaloosa.
I gotta go get one of her pecan pies.
She's got an amazing voice, too.
Yeah, I've got a page for her on Reverb Nation, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look it up, it's Carol Hennessy Trio. H-E-N-N-E-S-S-E-Y, Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E. But you can hear it. She takes, people would come in and do requests, and she would go, I don't like country western, but if you want this country western song, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to put a little twist on it. And she'd just turn it into a total, like, jazz kind of, with a little fun, I don't know, you just, check it out.
Take the keys, figure out the keys.
Oh, yeah, it's totally wild. Yeah, she was brilliant. She is brilliant. Yeah.
The first time.
She would never know. Or admit it or whatever. She says, I'm not. She's just the most humble person. Yeah.
Before you showed her the website, before you had it up, you sent her the tracks that you had done. And her grandmother was listening to Malin's tracks and goes, well, honey, I don't remember recording those tracks. That's how much their voices sounded alike.
Wow.
She's listening to her granddaughter sing and thinking, that's me, but I don't remember doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty amazing when I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard a video of her grandmother singing, and I thought it was her. I was like, there's Emily.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. You ever catch?
She's much more elegant than I.
Yeah, it's like you ever catch yourself, you make some sort of noise or something like that, you know, or just say like a single syllable word a certain way, and you're like, I sound just like my dad just now, you know?
Yeah, like whenever I like catch myself going. Whatever.
Your dad is a squirrel.
I don't know.
Oh god.
I'm thinking like, god damn it, boy. He's like, yeah, my dad's like.
No, you guys all know what I'm
talking about. Yeah, thumb of God and see.
I know what you're talking about. You just breathe like for me. I'll just like breathe a certain way, you know, or I'll sit into a chair and go. Fuck, I'm my father. I am that guy.
I look out in my yard and I see a bunch of broke down vans and I go, yep.
That's it.
My father.
Oh, I jump off a cliff and go, I'm probably going to die. Alright, a snowboard better catch. And then I go,
Fred Sanford. His nickname is Fred Sanford.
Your nickname is Aunt Esther.
That's right. He's coming to get you.
That's right, big money grip.
Old people's jokes. That's
it. Well, I think we gotta get to New Orleans.
Yeah, it's about time to wrap up, alright? I feel you. Y'all have had a long night and y'all still got a long way to go, too.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
That's alright. We're strong.
Well, none of us have even spoken to Puff yet.
Puff's not gonna be here.
Puff hasn't, I think she might be dead. I think seasick.
Yeah.
Puff used to be in the band.
Yeah, Puff used to be our lead singer. Mm-hmm. We
he's handsome. Where did he come from?
Been here all night. Ignore him. He's not here.
Recording?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, these are never mind. I'm not going
to
be rude.
Yeah, Puff used to have a few too many adult beverages
and get on stage.
We had to shake
that. She's dead now.
We had to shake that reputation.
There it is.
And if we're not careful, Puff's going to stay here with that soccer player, so we need to wrap this up.
Well, just tell folks where they can go to keep up with you guys, with what y'all got in the future. Y'all got the big, like, you know, we talked about y'all won. So y'all are going to be headed to Memphis in January, whereabouts, for the Blues Festival and all that stuff. So just future things and what's going on, where can people keep up with you?
We're going to be on Day Trotter, which is very exciting. And if you don't know about Day Trotter, they do live sessions of every musician you like. I think Alabama Shakes and John Paul White recently did one. But even bigger bands, somebody help me. Everybody.
Tame Impala did one.
Tame Impala, yeah. You can go and they just have these live sessions. I mean, Carole King. I mean, it gets to huge people. They just, you go, you do this live thing, and you can live stream it. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not doing it to follow us, just check out Day Trotter because it is so cool. You can see some of your favorite artists just kind of stripped down live. Remember MTV Unplugged back in the day?
Yeah.
Like Kurt Cobain did the thing. It's kind of like that. And I don't know why, but they decided we're okay enough to do a thing, so we're gonna do it too. I don't know the date, but he'll get all fancy with you on the
rest of the stuff. I have something to say. I'm not real sure what to do with my hands. Shake and bake.
Yeah, that's it.
Everything in her time.
The website has everything at twirlintoloose.com, and Day Trotter has everybody from Mumford & Son to Dinosaur Jr. to Gary Clark Jr. I mean, it's all these things. But that'll be September.
Maybe
the
we should be rolling to lose Jr. That could be a thing.
Yeah, Junior.
We get out of a lot of band. We get out of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's it. They are.
I thought you guys were New Orleans. No, we're Junior.
That's.
Aren't you guys banned from here? No, that's our father band.
Y'all need to go outside and run around the block.
They're headed to Houston tomorrow. They're headlining a festival called the Summer Shindig.
You're a horrible catch.
And then they go to Austin. And then they're off for a couple of weeks. They go to Charleston, South Carolina. And then a festival called Apex Fest in Apex, North Carolina. It's like the Research Triangle area. And then Chicago. And then Iowa, where Day Trotter is. And then back to the South, where we do the ACF Festival, Cucaraca Fest, which is a really cool festival.
Cucaraca is one of the coolest music festivals. I was at the first Bonnaroo, third High Sierra. I've been to so many music festivals all across the nation. Cucaraca is one of the coolest things. And I feel like it's at that point where not a whole lot of people know about it, but people are starting to know about it. Oh, you should look it up. It's in Steele, Alabama, which is a weird thing. But people are starting to come from all over the country, and it is doubling in numbers by the year because people are going, wow.
Sloss is going on their third year. Their first year was killer. They had an incredible lineup for their
third year. Yeah, this is Cucaraca. I can't ever say it right.
Horse spins 40.
Cucaraca.
Gotcha.
Anyway, it's a camping thing, and it's like Colonel Bruce Hampton. I don't know. They got a whole bunch of. It's a great lineup, and
It's at Horsepins 40. It's basically on top of a
small redneck Red Rocks, is what they call it.
It's a small
the
mountain.
The Redneck Red Rocks.
In Alabama, and when you get up there, you can actually, it's got a great view. The background is amazing. It's basically a natural miniature Red Rocks set into the mountains and so on, but it's an amazing festival. But they'll play there, and then they're playing in Tuscaloosa again during the Texas A&M game. It's that night. They're playing with a band from Tuscaloosa called Looksee at one of the coolest bars in the state. That's called Egan's. And Egan's is a dive bar, and it is freaking awesome.
They just set up in the floor right next to the bar. No stage. They just got the PA set into the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And everybody just kind of just shoves in there, and you just have a good time.
There's a sign at the door that says, dim lights, loud music, and very smoky. And you go in, and they're absolutely dead on.
They're not playing. Exactly what it is.
Between Egan's and the Nick, those are some of the best bars in Alabama. I mean, we've got some legendary venues. We've got some world-class places with things like Saturn and Workplay and Iron City. And the Syndicate is a new up-and-coming place in Birmingham that's an amazing venue as well. But the traditional places of the Nick, which has been around for over 40 years, right?
And, it was a wooden nickel before that.
Yeah, it was a wooden nickel, and then it became the Nick. But then Egan's and the Nick have been around forever. I mean, Widespread was playing some of their first shows there, all that stuff. But yeah, it's been great.
Cool.
It's been great.
Oh. All right. Well, we're all getting up and restless, so we're going to cut this one off. So.
All right. Roll Tide.
On to New Orleans.
That's it. Cool. Thanks a lot, guys.